Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with the one and only Dana Perino, who's going to be coming to the DC Warner Theater with Greg Gutfeld on Saturday, January 28th. Dana, thanks so much for joining us. It's an honor.
Oh, honor for me. You know, it feels like I'm coming back home in a way.
Definitely. And I think we last saw you came on a book tour here, and I'll never forget a line you said. You got to make the butterflies fly in formation.
You know, I think that if you are doing public speaking, or you're entertaining, or as you do, you know, you are a public-facing person, you know, in your career, the day that you stop getting butterflies, the day that you stop feeling a little nervous before you go out in front of the crowd is when you should probably hang it up, because it's that kind of energy that channels good communication. And the reason I put that in my book is that I was actually told that by my speech coach. I'm a huge proponent of the speech and debate team for middle school and high school students, and then on to college, which is how I went to college on a full-ride scholarship with the speech team, believe it or not. And I made it to the national finals at a tournament in Washington State. I was really, really nervous, and I didn't expect to be there. I was just a freshman. And my speech coach said, it's okay to have butterflies in your stomach as long as you make them fly in formation. Now, Jason, what's really cool is that I was back in Texas not too long ago, and that book had come out a year before, and this young woman came through the line and said, I want to show you my graduation announcement. It was like a card that she sent to friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
And she quoted me on her graduation announcement, and I loved that.
No, it's literally perfect. I mean, I think that might be a future book title for you, your autobiography. it's perfect. It sums it all up. It means you're on the right track. Don't shy away from it. It means you're getting close.
Yes, hold on to it.
Okay, awesome. Well, let's dive into the show here, because that's where your next butterflies are going to be. So, like, what's sort of the format? I know, I want to say like a year ago, Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen did sort of a similar thing where they came to Warner Theater and it was like a between two ferns thing with the audience. Is it sort of similar, you know, political jokes, audience Q&A? What can we expect, you know, format-wise?
Well, the great thing is I get to come with Greg Gutfeld, my co-host on The Five. I also call him the brother I never wanted. But we get along great. I find him hilarious and brilliant, and he tolerates me barely. And the great thing about our show is that we don't script it at all. Of course, there's going to be topics that we cover. We do talk a lot about politics on the show, but we also talk about concerns that we have for the future. You know, Greg is very much into artificial intelligence and where that leads us. And some of the most fascinating things come out of his mouth. Like, his brain is always working. And I try also to reach out across generations. You know, we hope that we have a lot of different people there, from young millennials all the way up through the baby boomers, because we get a kick out of ourselves, and that makes other people laugh, too.
So his big concern is artificial intelligence. Interesting. I did not
know
that.
Yeah, but see, I think that he is right in that technology is leading us to very interesting places.
Yeah.
And that is true for the workforce. It's a benefit to all of us to have new technologies, but it's also fraught with some peril and concern. As soon as the machines get smarter than us, then what do we become?
Exactly.
So I am assuming that he will share some of those thoughts. But, Jason, we will just be 1 week after the inauguration, so we plan to just keep things real current. So we don't know what we're going to talk about yet, but you can bet that we'll come prepared with whatever's in our heads at the moment.
Yeah, I'm sure this town will definitely still be buzzing from the inauguration.
Actually, and possibly cleaning up after the big parties.
Yeah, the Warner Theater is actually literally right down the street from the Trump Hotel that he bought, the old post office pavilion, too. Awesome. Well, you'll definitely have a lot to talk about after this campaign season. Just now that you've had a little bit of time to, you know, step back from it, what's sort of your takeaway from this campaign? I mean, it was literally the wildest, you know, campaign. You know, both candidates sort of had these, you know, historic, you know, disapprovals going into it. It was a year of outsiders versus establishment. You know, what's your sort of, you know, hindsight take on it?
Well, now that we've had a chance to catch our breaths, it's been interesting to watch how the campaign has really, for many people, continued after November. You even still have the fight over the legitimacy of the election. I think Donald Trump is right to push back on some of the notion that the Russian interference led to his win. I know the Democrats want to say that, and I don't think that they're wrong to point out that there was Russian interference, but I do feel like the left has failed to recognize why it lost. Now, it was a close election, closer than many people think, because if you look at the vote totals in the key three states, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan, he won by less than 1% of the vote in those three states. And that was sort of like getting a inside straight.
Right.
In poker, and she pulled it off.
And she didn't really campaign in those states.
No, I just thought that was amazing. When Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate, wanted to have a recount in Wisconsin, I thought, how can you have a recount in a state that you never even visited?
Yeah, it's interesting. And the hard truth that, you know, Democrats will have to look in the mirror. A lot of the Obama coalition just didn't turn out for it. Obviously, we should be, I think, worried about, you know, Russian meddling, absolutely. But I don't think they're mutually exclusive. I think it can be both at the same time. I think there's some blame to go around.
Certainly, if America elected presidents based on the popular vote, she would have won by 3 million votes. But it's not a new concept that we have an electoral college, and her team missed it. And so now I think moving forward, the Republicans have this amazing opportunity in front of them, but that opportunity is fraught with some peril because there are big thorny issues, and unwinding a legislative effort like Obamacare is very complicated. And I'm not saying they can't do it. I'm just saying it's going to take a lot of time and it will be difficult. And at the same time, Jason, you will have a Supreme Court nomination. I worked on Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Alito's nominations back in 2005 and 6. They take up somebody's entire day, right? I didn't work on anything else when I was working on those things. And there were many other people in that same position. And so those are just two of the big issues. Of course, you also have the fight against terrorism, plus all the other proactive things that Donald Trump wants to do. And so there's going to be so much news and so much happening in these first 100 days. And in fact, Fox News will have a special show. Martha McCallum will lead it at 7 p.m. for the next 100 days, starting at inauguration, to delve into all of these details. So I'm looking forward to it. I have a new motto: embrace the chaos.
Honestly, that has to be the bumper sticker for this whole campaign, because that's literally what it's
been. You can't fight it.
Well, I mean, I know we were a little, you know, pretty, just a few seconds ago, tough on, you know, Hillary's campaign for the lack of states they went to. But let's say on the other side, you know, and you mentioned the fear of technology. I mean, what's the deal with the Trump tweeting? Is there anything that he maybe needs to look in the mirror about?
Sure, although I think that he has this tool, a communications tool, that is the first time a president is ever directly going to use it. Barack Obama had a Twitter account, but he didn't actually do the tweeting himself.
Right.
So this is new. That's why I say embrace the chaos, because he's not going to give up his most effective tool. The thing I think is funny is that people get so worked up about him tweeting rather than just accepting it and looking forward to it, right? So in the morning, waking up and saying, oh boy, what did he say today? Because usually between 6:30 and 7 a.m., you'll get a new tweet.
Right. Yeah. He's controlling the media narrative of the day, actually. He's playing.
He is, and I do think that in some ways people have to stop worrying so much about the tweets. And that will start to change a little bit when he takes over as the president. Then he goes from campaigning to governing. And then I think also that he might not have as much time to spend on Twitter, but I also think he could use it pretty effectively. For example, to get the Republicans to turn right around on their ethics office decision in just a 24-hour period, you know, that's real power.
Yeah.
So in some ways, I would say to his opponents, you're not going to get him to put it away, so try to match him. And if you can't match him, beat him another way.
Right, play fire with fire.
Yeah.
Tell me about, obviously, since you and Greg are the one doing this, the Warner Theater show, tell me what makes him, and just go through all of your hosts on the Five: Bowling, Guilfoyle, Juan Williams.
Well, Kimberly Guilfoyle. Well, believe it or not, our show has been on the air for 6 years, and it has gone by very fast. New York City has grown on me. I grew up in Wyoming, spent a lot of time in Washington, D.C., never thought I would live in Manhattan, and at first I didn't really love it. I like the work that I do, but I didn't love living in the city, but it's grown on me as well. So we're in our sixth year. Kimberly and I, we love to try to keep the guys in line. But we also have some fun. This past week, we went to the Pro Bull Riding event at Madison Square Garden together, and we're going to have that on the Five coming up soon. Juan Williams is a veteran political reporter from Washington, D.C., turned into a columnist. So we're very fortunate to have his input. He likes to drive some of the conservatives in our audience crazy, but I tell them it would be boring without him.
Yeah, you need
him. Then we have Eric Bowling, who has an energy and business background, and has been a Donald Trump supporter from the very beginning. So there's that different aspect to the program. And then you've got Greg Gutfeld, who is, I'd say, libertarian-conservative mismatch, right?
Right. Which a lot of people are these days, actually.
Yeah, conservatarians.
Conservatarians. Definitely. Well, I mean, The Five has been, you know, massively successful on Fox. So
isn't that great?
Congratulations on that.
Thanks. We love it.
You're doing gangbusters with the numbers, but also, there, you know, there's has been some challenges lately. You know, you have Megyn Kelly leaving, Greta Van Susteren leaving, Gretchen Carlson left with the Roger Ailes, you know, controversy. Is it a tough time at the network in terms of a challenge, or do you guys see this as a new opportunity with new shows? Or, you know, how's that sort of playing out from your perspective?
I think that embracing the chaos applies not just to our politics and the new government that we are about to form, but also in our own lives, right? And reinventing yourself is something that all of us have to keep in mind going forward. And many people decided to make changes in their careers this past year. And one of the things I think that's amazing about Fox News is that I've been here through all of those changes, and it's been very seamless. And I think partly that's because we don't really have much choice. You have to put a product on the air 24/7, and we've never skipped a beat. And I think that the elevation of Tucker Carlson to 9 p.m. is a really great move by the Fox News team, and they made that decision quickly, which I think is also good because it showed decisiveness. I love Tucker's show. It cracks me up. I'm excited about Martha McCallum's 100-day program. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, I just try every day on The Five or on other shows that I appear on, such as The O'Reilly Factor, I try to bring something to the table that no one has heard before. And that's what I'm hoping that Greg and I can provide at Short Stories on Saturday the 28th, because you know, you just get a snippet of what we're thinking when we're on the show, because it's five people with five segments, and when you split up that time, you divide it up, there's not a lot to go around. So when we do Short Stories, we have a little bit more time to be expansive in our comments and a little bit more playful, and we love to take questions from the audience, so we're looking forward to hearing what is on their minds too.
Definitely. And before we go, we have to acknowledge you're a barrier breaker yourself. You know, you're the first woman press secretary under Republican. There was it Dee Dee Myers was under Clinton before you?
Yes.
You were Bush. But just how inspirational is that, you think, for in ways that maybe you don't even think about on a daily basis, but, you know, other young girls coming up?
I knew when I was offered the job that my life would change dramatically and forever and permanently and in good ways. But I also felt that there was a responsibility that came with that, which is to always be giving back to the younger generations. So in my book, And the Good News Is, which will be a part of this Short Stories event, you know, we come and we talk about our books as well. And The Good News Is was really written with younger people in mind, younger professionals who are just starting out. They're not sure what they're going to go through in terms of finding jobs or finding love, deciding where they're going to live, choosing a career. And what my message was in that book was that I myself tried to plan things out. My entire life I've tried to make a plan. And when I looked back at all the good things that had happened in my life that had been these turns and opportunities that turned into great experiences, it was things that I had not planned. And so my request to all young people is to please don't worry your young life away. If you're born in America, you've already won the lottery. Having a chance to get an education means that the only thing you have to decide is how hard are you willing to work. And that also means, though, that they shouldn't have to worry about their government all the time. The government should set the conditions for good economic growth. And then in our society, a free society where you get to make your own decisions, you take it from there.
Yeah, I mean, it's for all the bickering, it's still, you and I will agree, the greatest country on earth.
Greatest ever.
But how can we, it just feels like we're so divided now all the time, and cable news sometimes plays a role in that between Fox or MSNBC or the sniping that goes back and forth and the rivalry sometimes. But how can we bridge that? I mean, God, I feel like we're all more alike than different if you sit down at a dinner table and talk about it. But, you know, why does it always seem like we always run, like even with this Meryl Streep thing last night, there's boycott the Globes versus people cheering Streep, you know, but it's like we just immediately run to those corners. But can we
even
ever break that?
Even to the point where we are asked to take sides with Putin.
Yeah.
and or our government, you're right. Politics has become too much of a like team sports.
Yeah, exactly.
But even if your team is having a really bad season, you still hate the other side so much. And I agree with you that people actually get along a lot better than you think. And most people don't spend their entire days thinking and talking about politics.
Right.
There's a lot of other wonderful things in life. And people really, I think, are looking to have good work in whatever profession they choose, to work hard and be able to have a kind of lifestyle that they wish for and to feel safe and then to be left alone.
Yeah.
And we'll see how things go over these next few months. We're in for some turbulent times, so that's why, remember I say, embrace the chaos.
Embrace the chaos.
So that's what you're going to get.
Awesome, awesome. Well, all right, so just wrapping it up then, bringing it home. Along those lines, you know, let's say there's some people that are huge fans of the Five, and maybe some that never watch Fox News that you might want to get to come to Warner Theater anyway. You know, why should All Stripes come out for your show? Is it going to be just a good time? After all, I am our entertainment reporter, so.
I guarantee that people will have a great time at Short Stories. It is funny. It is insightful. You will walk away with something you had not thought about before then, and you will be able to amaze your friends at the water cooler on Monday morning.
Awesome. Well, send our best to Jasper, America's dog.
I will.
And we look forward to seeing you at Warner Theater. We're excited to see it.
Thanks, Jason. We'll see you then.
Take it easy.
Bye.